Amen. Matthew chapter 28 this morning, if you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll begin in a moment in verse 16. We're going to look at the last few verses of Matthew, the last five actually. If you were to walk outside those doors right there, and don't do it right now. If you walk outside those doors right there and turn to your left and start walking towards our sign, look a little further off. There's a yard over there across the street. A little black dog in that yard, about that long. Looks like he's pretty healthy. I think he lives there. I saw him this morning coming to church. He's walking around out there and he's sniffing around trying to find something to play with or something to eat. Maybe I'm sure he gets fed once in a while, but not quite enough. And he lives in that yard and he eats the food and he scratches the fleas and he's a dog. He kind of exists. And probably the biggest thought on that dog's mind is, when do I get fed next? My cat is that way. Two questions. When do I get fed next? And let me outside. And you look at that dog. What is his purpose in life? He doesn't have a great purpose. He might make his owner happy. I don't know. But as far as that dog's concerned, his great purpose in life is just making it to the next meal, making it to the next event, scratching the flea, getting the thorn out of his foot, maybe dealing with the nuisances of the day, finding a shady spot in the summertime. Not a very high calling, would you agree? There are Christians that live that way. Christians. Born-again Christians that live that way. What do you mean, Pastor? Their biggest concern is paying the bills, staying fed, staying housed, finding something to do, dealing with the nuisances of life. Dogs deal with fleas. We deal with different things. They're just going from day to day. Folks, that's a problem. And here's the problem. I said Christians. I'm not talking about lost people. I know that lost people, certainly, we expect some things in their life that might not be present in a saved person's life. They don't have the Lord to help them. But I'm talking about Christians that live their life from day to day, just like that dog, just trying to find something to eat, trying to find something to do, trying to stay comfortable until they die. That's a problem. Now, here's the thing that shocks me. If you're a born-again Christian, I think all of you would resoundingly agree with me, we know Christ rose from the dead. That's how we got saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We come to the end of Matthew. 110 messages. Well, about 110 plus a couple of notes that I was looking at yesterday. We've been in Matthew since December of 2019. Is that right? Yeah. Seems like forever. Gonna have to go somewhere else next week. Amen? When you come to the end of Matthew, and you come to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, I need to remind you of something. The disciples, just like you and I, knew Jesus had risen from the dead. They knew that the resurrection had taken place and that he was out of that tomb, and they had seen him. They saw him on the road to Emmaus, a couple of them did. And that night, that Sunday night, that's why we have Sunday night services, you think? They were in the upper room, and the first time he had met with all of them was the Sunday night of the resurrection. And then they saw him again a little over 8 days later. And then they went to the Galilee, and they saw him there. But up until then, and these last five verses in Matthew, they're kind of after all of that. They're very near the day when he ascended into heaven. So, but after that resurrection, they knew about it. They had no doubt. You know about it. You have no doubt. I want to make what I think is a shocking statement. believing in the resurrection is not enough. So what do you mean, Pastor? I could change that statement. Being saved is not enough. I don't want to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell? No. I want to have confidence that my sins are forgiven and that I'm going to spend eternity with God. As long as he's going to live, I'm going to live with him. In the same place, wherever he is, he says in John 14 that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to be with him forever and ever. That's good. That's what knowing salvation is all about. But there are Christians, they know Christ rose from the dead, just like the disciples. And they're living like that dog. Now, I like dogs, don't get me wrong. That's not an insult. They're living though, just day to day, need to get something to eat, need to find something, rest, some food, some shelter, some whatever. There can be something more. If you're living your life like that dog, first of all, before we read the passage and pray, I want you to remember something. Up until the very end of Matthew, the disciples were kind of in the same spot that dog's in. In fact, and I won't take you there today, but one particular fellow named Peter, who was one of the two greatest evangelists who ever lived, Paul being the other one, Peter, before what we're going to see today, he was with the disciples. They were at the Sea of Galilee, and he said, I'm going fishing. He knew Jesus was risen. He'd seen him. He said, I'm going fishing. Now, he was a fisherman by trade. I do not think this was a recreational trip. You know, people don't do things that they do for a living as recreation. You know, the welder doesn't say, I'm going to go welding for fun, you know. He might, but I think Peter's saying, I guess I'll go fish. I don't know what else to do. He's risen, okay. Salvation is sure. Amen. I'm going fishing. Folks, there's more to life than fishing. It can be. If all God wanted you to do was get saved and go back and be just like you always were, that's better than going to hell. But I want you to know something. There's something better. Let's stand and read this passage and have a word of prayer, and I'll show you what it is and how you can have it. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Before we pray, I want to ask you to read with me 18, 19, and 20. We're going to start in the middle of 18 where he says, All power. Are you ready? Here we go. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for what you've done already today. Thank you for gathering us. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us knowledge, certainty, faith in the resurrection. And I trust that each person here knows Jesus as their Savior. If they do not, Lord, please let them understand that they need to give us that opportunity this morning to show them how to receive Christ and make that very clear to them. God, I pray for the folks that are here today that you'd speak to them through the Bible, not through me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Up until this point in the Bible, the disciples were kind of listless. They knew Jesus had risen, but they didn't really have any direction. They knew he had sent them to this place and that he was going to meet with them, but he hadn't met with them yet. Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. And I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he thought, well, I'll take some time here and just make a little money. Or maybe he thought, maybe this is the rest of my life. But like I said, folks, there's more to life than fishing. There's more to life than making a living. Amen? There's more to life than trying to survive. There's more to life than just existing. And if you're a Christian and you're living that way, I want you to know it can be better. If you're not a Christian, it can be a lot better. Or you can receive Christ as your Savior. So, Pastor, how does that work? Well, here's how it worked for me. I knew I was a sinner. I didn't think I was a bad sinner. I never had killed anybody, never had robbed a bank, never had committed any great crime. But I knew this. I'd told lies. I had taken little things. I had disobeyed my parents. I had done things that were wrong. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire one day. And I was over here talking to the homeless guys yesterday. And even they realize that there are demons. They realize that there's a God. They realize that there's a hell. But then, as a child, somebody gave me the gospel. That Christ died for my sins. And that he would save me if I would ask him. Someone says, oh, I thought you had to earn that. You can't. You haven't got the ability. Someone says, oh, I thought that happened in a baptistry. No, baptism is not to save you. It's after you're saved as a testimony that Jesus is in your heart. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you had to be good enough to attain heaven. The Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So I received Christ as about a 13-year-old child, and I went to church when I was in high school, pretty faithfully. My parents took me, and I went and didn't have any choice in the matter, and that's good. They should take me. Amen? Went off to college, far from my parents, stopped going to church, wasted 10 years of my life living like that dog out there. I knew I was saved. I knew that Christ had risen from the dead. I had knowledge of the resurrection, but that's all it was. See, the ingredients here in these verses are the difference between living like that dog and having a good life. Being different. Some of it falls on us, some of it falls on God. But the truth of the matter is, none of us are robots. God is not going to make you serve him. There are no conscripts in God's army. I used that word in class the other day, and my students looked at me like, what's a conscript? A conscript is when they make you join. When they come and get you and say, you're in the army now, whether you like it or not. God doesn't work that way. And here's the fascinating thing. If you don't do something about it, and you can, we can live our whole life just trying to survive. A lot of folks do. Little footnote, sadly, I see older Christians talking about people, I'm not going to say it, talking about people that are older, that just drop out of church, drop out of serving God, and they live like that dog over there, waiting to die. Let me ask you a question. Don't you think Christ has more for us than just waiting to die? Don't you think he has more for us than just trying to get to the next meal and the next rent check and the next mortgage check and the next car payment and whatever else we have? I don't want to live like that dog. That dog's got the life that dog's got, and he's a dog. But I'm a child of God. I think there's more for me. And you do too. So what did Jesus say to these fellows that changed everything? And it changed everything. And it can change everything for you and I. And it's not complicated, but I'm not going to tell you that it's all easy. It's going to require some effort on your part. Let's look at this and see what he says. Look at Matthew chapter 28. At the very end of the chapter, first of all, in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I got to help you with that word power just a little bit. We use that word power in different ways, like there's power making these lights work. But that word power right there more has to do with authority, like we would say governmental power, that the government has authority, or the police have authority, or the teachers have authority. And we're all for authority, amen? Do you know, oh, rabbit trail, I gotta be careful. Do you know why the nation is falling apart the way it is? Because a bunch of people don't want authority. When there's an authority that says, you can't do that, you're going to go to jail, they don't like that idea. We used to run a school in Maryland, had hundreds of students, which means hundreds of parents. And half the battle that I fought for 15 years was dealing with parents that don't like authority. What do you mean my child gets a low grade because they didn't study? That's the way it works. What do you mean my child got detention for talking in class, or got in trouble for fighting or whatever? Well, that's the way it works. They, we don't like that. You're not fair to my child. Folks, God says plainly here in the Bible, Jesus has all power. All of it. So here's the first thing that's going to change our life. You won't like this. Maybe you will. Maybe you will a lot. The question is this: do we accept his authority in our life? Do we accept his authority in our life? Now, here's the interesting thing. He'll tell you what to do. The Bible tells us what to do. The Bible tells us what not to do. But then the question is, do we pay attention to that? Jesus has the authority. Do you accept the authority? Amen? That makes sense? I found out when I was younger, I used to have a red Mazda RX-7. I paid too much for that car, and I got in a lot of trouble in that car, and I'm ashamed to say it, but one thing I found out was this. When a red sports car drives by, every policeman in the county sees it. And they're watching you. And I thought to myself, this car goes fast. I guess I should drive it fast. And I got some tickets. They gave me consequences for disregarding their authority to say how fast I could go. And I learned you have to watch the speed limit. So here's what gets us in trouble. Jesus has some commands, instructions that he gives to us, doesn't he? Amen? Read the Bible. There's a lot of things in there. He says, do this, don't do that. There's a lot of commands in the Bible, and when we disobey them, it seems to us as if nothing happens. And we start to think, I guess it doesn't matter. So let me ask you the question, does Jesus' authority matter? You say, well, Pastor, I come to church once in a while, I don't do anything else, and don't serve him, don't tithe, don't do anything, and seems like I'm just fine. You're living like that dog out there. You just come into church once in a while, but you're living like that dog. You have no real direction in your life. You haven't accepted Christ's direction. You're establishing your own direction. That dog, he walks wherever he wants to in that yard, and he might walk across the street and think nothing of it until a car hits him and kills him. If it doesn't, he doesn't know any better. But listen, the difference in that dog and us is that dog's not going to stand before Christ one day. We are. You see, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You know what that means? I can't see it. I can't see God judging me. It's not happened yet. I can't see God, what God's going to say to me when I stand before him, because I'm not there. And so the fact that he does not judge me now doesn't mean he never will. I will tell you this, there are consequences for ignoring God. And I won't get into that, but there are times when God chastens us, the Bible says in Hebrews, and there are times when we live our life wrong and get ourselves in trouble. And half the time, and that's just a euphemism, but some of the time, when you're unhappy, it's your own fault for not listening to what God had to say. I'll give you an example. If you don't serve God, you're not going to see the blessings. We went out yesterday and tried to reach some folks, took a couple of the teens with us. I fed them chicken sandwiches first to make sure they were ready. And went over and talked to some fellows. You know, the fellow that was going to be here today didn't show up. But we went and tried. And there's a reward for that. I'm glad we did that. I could have taken it easy yesterday and took a nap and watched some YouTube or whatever. Nope. We went and served God, and there's a reward for that. You're missing out on the rewards. But if you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing out on life. There is an authority there, and you're either listening to his authority. For example, the Bible says that we should assemble and worship him. Here you are. Praise God. I'm preaching to the choir. What that means is I'm telling folks that don't need to hear it. But you know what? God says to assemble. He has authority. Does he have authority in your life? Are you listening to that authority? Do you acknowledge that authority? He has all authority. If you don't listen to what he has to say and try to live by it, you're just like that dog wandering through life. There's a second thing that you can get, and I'll try to sum these up in just a minute, but let's look at number two. He says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore." He says in verse 18, "I have all authority, including over your life." And he says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." I won't read all of that. Verse 20, teaching them. So there's a purpose. Now, watch this. Some people call this the Great Commandment. A lot of people have called it the Great Commission. The title is not important. What's important is this. Jesus gathered his disciples together before he ascended into heaven, and he said, "I have the authority, I have all authority. There's no authority greater than mine, not your authority, no authority, not governmental authority, not police authority. I have all authority, and I'm telling you, go." That's called purpose, or a mission, a task, something to do. Now, I haven't got time to develop this, but I will tell you, that purpose, that plan, that command has been given to us as a church. If you start reading the rest of the New Testament, you'll see it's churches that reach people with the gospel. It's churches that send out missionaries. It's churches that start churches. And hey, guess what? Here's a church. Why are we going to meet next Saturday and talk about missions? Because God gave us a command to go into all the world. And there's only one of me. I can't do that. But I can send somebody. And you know, everything that happens in our church ought to be centered around these verses. This is our goal. Someone says, "Our church is going to build houses." Okay, but I don't see that here. Amen? It's good to help people. Somebody says, "Our church is going to plant crops." Okay, but I don't see that here. Right here, what I see is, go tell folks the gospel. Amen? Now, here's the good news. You're not in this by yourself. If God just came to one person here and said, "You go," that's rather intimidating. But when God comes to us as a group and says, "This is your mission as a church," it makes things easier. You see, some of us don't have the health to go. Some of us don't have the wisdom or the strength or the call for that matter. But everybody here can be a part of that. Amen? Just by being here today, you're an encouragement to me. That helps me to serve God better. Thank you. When you give, these lights are on because somebody gave. When you send money to the church for missions, that pays for the missionaries so they can be on the field and feed their children and feed their families and buy hymn books and rent buildings and print tracts and spend their time giving the gospel out. Everything we do centered around that. It's a purpose that we have. That dog has no purpose. He's just existing. Wonder what's for dinner. Oh, yeah, dog food again. Wonder what I'm going to do today. Oh, sleep under that tree today. No, wait, that one. Okay, that's good. No purpose. Do you have a purpose in your life? Or are you just living from day to day? If you don't have a purpose, it's not because Jesus doesn't want you to. Amen? He has the power. He has the authority. He's given us a purpose. There's still one more thing. And it's important. It's the key to the whole thing. Look at it, what he says in verse 20. Please read carefully with me. Read silently. I'll read out loud. He says at the end of the verse, I am with you always. In fact, he says, lo. We would use the word look. In other words, let me have your attention again. I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. Haven't seen that happen yet, have you? So I guess he's still with us. You know, Jesus is with you all the time. What a great choice of a first song. Did you pick that? No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Every minute of every day, if you're saved, Christ is with you. But you know what we do? With his power, his authority, and with his purpose, and with his presence, that's him with us, we kind of forget about all that. I'm not going to make excuses for you, but I will tell you this. The devil's going to try and make you forget about that. I just want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. That's good news. He protects. He directs. He blesses. He comforts. That's his title. The Holy Spirit's the comforter. He's with us all the time. But the fact that he's with you doesn't mean you're listening to him. The fact that he's with you doesn't mean you're looking to him for guidance, that you're seeking his help. Went on a military exercise one time and they attached a regular army sergeant to our unit. And we had a training exercise. We had to go here and do that and go there and do this. And about a 3-day thing. And this guy was with us the whole time. And I felt so sorry for the guy because we were so incompetent. I mean, we were, you know, weekend warriors. I mean, we came out 2 days a month and 2 weeks in the summer. And this guy's, he's army 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year. And he'd look at us and just shake his head. And if you didn't ask him for help, he'd just look at you. Now, sometimes he couldn't stand it. Like one of the most embarrassing things I ever did, I lit a smoke canister to signal some people, and I just tossed it, and it rolled. And it rolled about 30 or 40 feet in grass. And if you've ever been in the military, you know these things make sparks. And all of a sudden, there's this big grass fire. He looks at me. I'm a lieutenant. He's a sergeant. He walks over to the Jeep, and he gets a shovel, and he walks past me and starts putting the fire out. And I felt about that tall because I started the fire. I should have been the one putting it out. But the Holy Spirit's the very same way. He's with you. He'll help you. And when you mess it up, he can fix it. Do you take advantage of that? That dog doesn't have a Holy Spirit with him. He doesn't have an authority telling him what to do. He has no purpose in life. He's not called to do anything great. Just hang around the yard and wait for dinner. Is that what you want for your life? Please say no. Amen? Amen. Jesus has authority. Are you listening to it? Oh, Pastor, what if he tells me to do something I don't want to do? Okay, be a dog. Folks, Jesus knows what's to do a lot better than you and I. Remember when your children were little and you said, eat your vegetables? I won't even get into that. My kids literally threw up a couple of times. They will not eat Brussels sprouts. To this day, they won't eat Brussels sprouts. But when I said, eat your vegetables, I knew it was good for them. They just didn't like it. When God says to do some things, it's good for you. You want to be sickly all your life? Spiritually? No. his power, his authority. Folks, he has a right to tell us what to do. And I'm going to stand before him one day, and I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand before him one day, and I'm going to give an account, the Bible says, for every idle word. Ouch. But I hope when you stand before him, you might hear him say, well done, instead of thou wicked and slothful servant. Folks, judgment's real. Pastor, I haven't seen it yet. You will. It's faith now. It'll be sight then. His purpose for our life. Folks, he gave our church a purpose. What were we supposed to do? Reach that house right across the street. Then the one right next to it. Then the one right next to it. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to be here Tuesday at 5:30 in the evening. I'm here every Tuesday at 5:30 in the evening. Every Tuesday, maybe one in 10 or 15, I might not be. But every Tuesday at 5:30, I'm here. I'm either waiting for folks in the parking lot or I'm in my office. This Tuesday, there's a trailer court over here with a bunch of new people living in it. And there's a bunch of homeless guys behind the mobile station over there. Would you be willing to come with me on Tuesday and knock on some of those doors? Or go to that mobile station and walk up to those guys like we did last Tuesday, I did last Tuesday, and say, hey, got a minute? Let's visit. Sit down at the table, talked about Christ, asked him if he'd like to be saved, and he said he would, and he asked Christ to save him. Y'all, Pastor, that's way too hard. I don't know what's hard about that, brother. What's hard about that? I guess you got to be here. The table wasn't very clean, I must admit. Folks, there's folks, you say, well, I told somebody they wouldn't listen, so I'm done. Oh, come on. Tuesday at 5:30. You know, the trouble with retirement, if you retire and you don't have a purpose, you don't have a life. But when you live with Jesus, you always got a purpose. Amen? And don't forget the last one. His authority is his power, his purpose, and then his presence. He didn't just tell you and me to go over there. He's going to go with us. And you know what I found out? Nobody can hurt you when Jesus is with you unless he lets them. And most of the time he doesn't. I haven't been hurt yet. I told you all this story about my roommate in advanced camp up in Fort Riley, Kansas, Pete Szymanski, 6'8" tall, 275-pound lineman for a Wisconsin football team. I'm sorry, Ohio, I didn't mean to mention that. I would go anywhere with Pete. Pete, let's go down to this place where it's not safe. Okay. And I was about two-thirds his size, but I wasn't worried because Pete was with me. We're going to go over here and try to reach some folks, but don't worry, Christ will go with you. Amen? How can you be different from that dog? That dog does not have an authority directing his life. He doesn't have anything to do except wait for dinner. He has no purpose in life. You and I have been given a purpose by Christ. And he hasn't got the presence of Christ in his life, at least not like we do. Christ died for us. Can we live for him? Amen? Folks, this is all real. We're going to go home here in about 10 minutes and have lunch. This is still real. You're either going to live your life like that dog, or we're going to live our life for the Lord. And I want you to know something, and I think many of us here would agree. If you're living your life for the Lord, it's a life worth living. Amen, Brother Mendez? Amen? Let's all stand and pray.